Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming out to the first session of Tech Ed on Tuesday. If you are looking for the session on, if you're looking for the session on exploring the power of page layouts in SharePoint 2010 WCM sites, it's a mouthful, but that's what we're going to be talking about here today. So if you're looking for something else, now's your opportunity to get up and take a look and go find one of the other awesome sessions, like that guy right there.
He's leaving.
No hard feelings, sir.
No hard feelings at this point for that doing that.
But OSP 335 or 335.
Do you want to tweet it up with a hashtag or something?
If you're going to be following us on Twitter or anything like that, feel free to send some kind words our way and or
curse
not
words,
kind
if
words,
you want.
Whatever you prefer. Kind of before we get started, though, we wanted to take a journey back in time and talk about kind of the old days of content management. You know, those days of whenever we had webmasters that managed static HTML sites, where if you ever wanted to make any changes, you had to send an email to the webmaster. The webmaster would go in and manually update a whole bunch of pages across your site, and then painfully upload them via Telnet or FTP or whatever it is that your method of choice was. And some of the people that are sitting in this room might have been some of those webmasters and understand the pain.
I was one of those.
You might understand some of the pain of going in and making some of these mass changes. And you often became a bottleneck in your organization, or if you had your webmaster was a bottleneck in your organization. But the good news is with modern web content management systems, or what we'll refer to throughout the presentation as WCM, with new enterprise content management systems like SharePoint, it allows the people who manage the content to be the ones who are doing all the updates, so you no longer have to be the bottleneck. You put the control of the content in the hands of the people who know it best and who manage it. And so, you know, the purpose of this discussion that we're going to be talking about is around page layouts, and we really feel that page layouts are the backbone of SharePoint WCM, and really, in a lot of ways, kind of an unsung hero when it comes to SharePoint WCM.
Indeed.
But before we get too deep into it, we thought it'd be good to introduce ourselves. I'll just introduce myself real quick. My name is John Ross. I'm the custom solutions lead at Rackspace, formerly SharePoint 911. We were just acquired a couple months ago, if any of you have heard of SharePoint 911. Contributed to a couple books, and I'll just call attention to the first one, Professional SharePoint 2010 Branding, that I co-wrote with this gentleman over here who introduced himself in a second.
That guy liked it.
But if you're interested, they do have it in the bookstore, and we will be doing a book signing and a giveaway at the Rackspace booth tomorrow at 4 p.m.
I believe that's correct.
So if you hear something that you like throughout the session, you're interested in getting some more information about it, it's a decent one to check
out.
It's
not worth anything on eBay after we sign it.
There's my blog. I will bring attention to the blog because there is I have a post that's scheduled to go out at 10:45 today. That's going to have some sample code that I'm going to be showing later in the presentation. So if you're interested in getting that, make note of the blog or follow me on Twitter, because there should be a live update as well from my Twitter feed that'll say when it's to the account, so you can go take a look. But one thing that I do want to call out, I am from right here in Orlando, Florida. So if there's any Florida people in the room, is anybody here from Florida?
All right.
Nice, love it. So Randy and I also run the Orlando SharePoint user group, and just this past Saturday we did SharePoint Saturday Orlando. So I don't know if any of you came out, but that guy, a couple people, awesome.
All right.
But take a look if you're interested in getting more involved in the SharePoint community. Osbug.org is our website, and say hi.
So I'm Randy Driscoll. I'm the branding and design lead at Rackspace Hosting, formerly SharePoint 911. I worked on the same books that John did. There's my blog and there's my Twitter. You can figure out what I had for breakfast this morning if you check out Twitter. And then I'm here in Orlando as well, East Orlando, in the house.
So, you know, we kind of mentioned, gave you a little history lesson. We told you, you know, about page layouts and unsung hero. And before we get into kind of the meat and potatoes of this presentation, we thought we'd start back at the beginning of kind of talk about what is a page layout. Well, a page layout itself was introduced to SharePoint in SharePoint Server 2007, or MOS. Back in the day, whenever we had SharePoint 2003, it was primarily a collaboration platform. That in 2007, Microsoft actually merged the 2003 product with Microsoft Content Management Server, and a lot of that those web content management features kind of all rolled together in Moss. So if what a page layout itself is essentially a template for content, basically, yep. Right? So you know, as you're going through and you're creating pages in SharePoint, it's the content, it's the template that you and your users are going to be entering your content in. So you could have one page layout that your users are going in and entering hundreds of pages, all based on that structure that you're creating. You do have to have SharePoint Server, and you do have to have publishing enabled to make sure that you're taking advantage of all that stuff. So just kind of as we go through some of this discussion, this is definitely something that is SharePoint Server specific, and also you need to make sure that the publishing stuff is enabled. So why should you even bother with page layouts? And you know, we've seen, I can't even tell you how many different sites that I've been to and how many different clients I've worked with that have SharePoint Server, but may not even turn on any of the publishing stuff. And so you know, a lot of times people think, you know, they have all these different ideas about what it brings to the table, but you know, we like to think about, you know, when we think about web content management and publishing, we think about the ABCs of content management. That would be authoring, branding, and controlled publishing. So, you know, from an authoring perspective, I think it's pretty obvious. You know, this is how our end users are going to go in. They're going to put the page into edit mode, and they're going to put some content in. And page layouts provide a structure to do that. Makes it so your users can have, you know, kind of the specific metadata that they're filling in, or an area to put page content in, or maybe we're going to give them an opportunity to drop some web parts on the page or something like that. So all of that kind of rolls in, and that kind of can work together with the standards and governance that you have applied to your page. The branding, again, also pretty obvious. I mean, it's one of the reasons why it works hand in hand with the whole standards and governance. And you know, a big part of the reason why Randy and I are doing this presentation is because half of it is branding, half of it is WCM. Those two sides really need to work together, and that's going to be a topic. That's going to be a theme as we kind of go through this. And then the C there, controlled publishing. Page layouts are one of the great things about page layouts is it's something where you can go in and you can fill in your content. You put it on the page. Maybe it's a press release or something like that. Maybe you're announcing that your company just got acquired by a big hosting company or something like that. So through,
if that ever happens.
So what you could do is you could fill that information into a page layout, and you could make sure that you know, when you hit submit for approval, that there's a message that's sent to my manager or to a marketing person or whoever the right person is to make sure that that information doesn't get published before it would go, before it should be published. So things like that, SharePoint provides a way to manage the controlled publishing, and that content gets entered through the page layout. But you know, like we've said, it's really the backbone of any WCM site. So this is what we're looking at here is a customized master page that we put together. This was kind of the basis for some things. If you happen to pick up our book, you're going to see lots of breakfast and waffle themed things throughout. So you know, sorry if you haven't eaten breakfast today. I haven't, but you know, waffles are delicious.
It's an obsession of mine. Yeah.
So what you can see, though, the master page at the top, and a lot of times whenever we talk about branding, we do a lot of these sessions on branding. We focus a lot on master pages. We focus a lot on CSS. But the master page itself is what you would find at the top with the search box and the navigation and you know, a lot of the header control at the top. Then at the bottom, we have the footer. All of this area that you know designers might refer to as the Chrome, this is kind of what's the master page. But the body of the page, kind of the largest visual part of the page, is going to be made up from the page layout itself. And so as you can see in the center here, we've got the title of the page, we've got the page content, and you know, the page content itself is a rich text area that you can drop in, you know, HTML and other type things. We've got an image control at the right-hand side, and then we've got a web part zone so that any, you know, someone could go in and add whatever type of content they need. So this is kind of what we think about whenever we say, you know, the ABCs, this is the A and the B right here. So just kind of, we're going to be talking about that middle part, and I think that right now, Kind of before we get into it, we're going to do a real quick demo of, we're going to kind of go through and show you just real quick what a page layout is. I'm sure most of you have seen it, but if you haven't...
It's a 300 level session, but just in case you haven't, you know, we're going to build on this, so it's a good idea to get an idea of what they look like. So we've got the basic out-of-the-box master page here, and we're just going to create a quick page here, ticket page, something like that. Create. Just going to think for a second. Puts up my page. You know, I can start editing in this, like, you know, hello world, you know, all the basics. We won't spend too much time on this, but I'll bump that up. And then if we go over here to the page tab, because we have publishing turned on, we have the access to page layouts here. And so I could swap this over to image on left, and sort of the page, you know, redoes itself, and we have now access to different fields. You know, we could put a date in there. And so these are all field controls here, and so it's locked down to only being able to edit, to add certain things, you know, to the mix. You know, if we want to add a picture real quick, we can go in here, and I can try to navigate to one real quick. Let's see. Style library, syrup, assets, team, and I'll put, let's see, wait for this to reload. We'll put a picture of our coworker Laura in there because she's one of our most famous coworkers, I'll say. So, you know, we can save the page. When we save it, we see what it looks like outside of edit mode. If we put it back in edit mode, you know, we can change it to a different page layout. We can move it to image on right, and then sort of everything moves over there, or we could even, you know, change it to completely different page layout, like, I don't know, like, you know, we could go down here to like a splash page or something like that, and it's set up entirely differently. So that's sort of your basic demo of just editing page layouts and just, you know, editing pages with a page layout and seeing what it looks like.
Yeah, kind of the key takeaway here is that you're entering data into fields onto an item in a document library, and it's got metadata associated with it. And as you switch around, the page layout is essentially the vehicle to display that information that you've shown in. So how you manipulate that and how you work with that is kind of going to be, you know, what we're going to build on throughout this entire session. So, but, you know, the whole idea of a page layout kind of, you know, is cool, but there's a lot of things that are kind of working under the hood, and this is...
Exactly.
And Randy's going to talk a little bit about that.
We jump back a little bit further into the time machine, so to speak, and... The reason I go through this is because when I got started with SharePoint, you know, I was thrown on a project to do, you know, branding and that kind of thing for SharePoint, and I had never done even ASP.NET development. I was just a, you know, PHP, Cold Fusion web developer from back in the day, and so I jumped straight into master pages and page layouts, and I got really confused. John can attest to the fact that I was very frustrated, and that's because I didn't understand what SharePoint was built on, which is ASP.NET. So, you know, he said earlier that the page layouts are sort of templates for pages, right? So in ASP.NET, they have the concept of content pages, and they have an ASP extension, and if you were to look at the code of them, they kind of call out at the top of a content page, it calls out a master page, so in this case, demo.master. And when you browse to a site and you pull up a content page that has a master page applied to it, the, you know, IIS, the web server, realizes that there's a master page, and it sort of combines the two into one page. And so you see the URL is the content page, and you as a browser, you don't notice that there's anything different, but you're actually getting the master page and the content page together. And so here's the basic code of a simple ASP.NET content page. And again, at the top, you see where it calls the master page. And then essentially, it's made up of two ASP content tags. And you can see that there are content placeholder IDs on both of them. And so those are going to reference content placeholders in a master page. And I'll show you that in a second. And so you can see that the first one says, hello world. The second one says, you know, I will override the footer content. And so these are going to override areas in the master page right here. So here's a simple ASP.NET master page. A lot of it is just basic HTML, but at the top you can see that it's called out as a master page, written in C# or what have you. Bunch of HTML, then there's a form tag that's just in there to tell, you know, IIS that something's happening programmatically. And then we've got these content placeholders that I mentioned before. And you can see that one has an ID of main body, and one has footer. And those match up with those ASP content tags we saw before. So the first one there, main body, has no default content in it. So if we didn't override it, it would just be blank. And the second one has, the footer has copyright 2012 Randy Driscoll. That one has default content. So if no page overrode that, it would just say copyright 2012 Randy Driscoll. But in our case, if we load up that page we had before, it's going to say hello world, and it's going to override the footer or whatever. And so I was just going to show a demo of this, but if you know anything about HTML, the demo would be pretty weak because all it really would say is hello world and I will override the footer. So here's the HTML of what came out of it. You can see that it, you know, a lot of the codey stuff is stripped out, and we've just got HTML from the master page and HTML from the page layout, and they're sort of merged together into one thing. And so that's sort of the basics of how pages work. And now going forward, page layouts are similar to that. And so those content placeholders are important, right? Because you'll see them again in SharePoint, and they're a little bit more complicated when they're in SharePoint. And so the one thing to remember is that those ASPX pages, they must have a matching placeholder in the master page. And so if you call out a content placeholder in the page and you don't have it in the master page, your page is going to error. But if you flip that around, you can have as many content placeholders in a master page as you want, and you can use them willy-nilly in the page. Like, you can have 20 content placeholders in your master page and only use zero. You know, you could use one, two of them in the page. And so that's sort of the concept going forward, and you'll see in SharePoint there's sort of a lot more of these to kind of worry about. So let's talk about SharePoint page layouts for a second. So the SharePoint page layouts, again, they're a template for creating pages. They also use the ASPX extension, but here's where they start to deviate. They live in something called the master page gallery, which, if you can guess, is where all the master pages live as well in SharePoint. So if you're to look in the master page gallery, you'll see master pages and page layouts in there. The master pages have a .master and the page layouts are .ASPX. They're based on a content type. So if you're familiar with like regular SharePoint lists and all that, they're based on a content type as well. But that's something that you need to sort of wrap your mind around, that a page layout will have a content type that it's based on. And we'll talk about that more in a little bit. And so you could create page layouts in a number of different ways. You could go into the web interface. You could go to the master page gallery. You could upload it that way. But then you have to kind of handle a lot of things yourself. The easiest way to do it is to use SharePoint Designer. That's how we're going to do it in the demos here. And the last thing to consider is that, you know, in those pages, we saw the master page was called out at the top. And in page layouts, it's not. It just relies on whatever master page is applied to your SharePoint site. That's how it determines what the master page is. So here's a simple SharePoint page layout. At the top, you can see that we have a bunch of stuff up there that sort of pulls in the SharePoint functionality. You can see that it inherits from Microsoft.SharePoint.publishing page layout, blah, blah, blah. And then it brings in a bunch of controls. And those are sort of the things that make SharePoint work. It's the things that make field controls and web parts work and all that kind of stuff. So you can kind of ignore that. And then after that, we just have, again, ASP content tags. They both have content placeholder IDs that they point to. In this case, one points to placeholder page title and one points to placeholder main. And then you could see in the middle there, we have a field control that's just going to display the page title or what have you. So if you go to the next one, I couldn't put the whole SharePoint master page on one page here. It's like 600 lines of code. But the point I wanted to drive across here is that it's more complicated than the ASP.NET master page, right? There's just a lot more junk in it. There's a lot more stuff. And you can see we register a bunch of stuff. And then we have HTML just like any other HTML site. But if you kind of look down there in the middle where it's in yellow or what have you, that's where the first content placeholder appears. And that actually matches with the one we saw in that default page layout, but there'll be more throughout the master page. And so the key is you don't want to reference one from a page layout that doesn't exist in the master page. Otherwise, you're going to get an error. And so what could page layouts contain? We kind of already looked at this, but they have that page directive at the top. They register tags, and then from there, all your content and functionality has to live in those ASP content tags. If you move content out of there, it's not going to work. It's going to error. But essentially, you put HTML for formatting in those. So you could do like CSS, you could do tables, you could do divs, you could do colors, you could do anything you want for formatting. And then it's just field controls and web parts. And we'll talk about the difference between those in a little bit.
So, you know, we talked a lot about, the nuts and bolts of what makes a page layout. But, you know, that's all fine and good, but what do you do with them? Well, just for example, you know, I think probably the most obvious and common thing that anybody can think about is that when you create a publishing site, it's got to have, you know, and it comes up on the page, there's going to be a landing page. You know, so those landing pages that you create in any of your publishing sites are going to be based on a page layout. Randy kind of showed an example of that. So landing pages for a site, and this is kind of whenever we think about branding, and we think about making a highly branded site, this is a big part of, you know, at least from an organization perspective, we're going to be thinking about how we can organize the web part zones and other corresponding content on the page to meet a highly branded site. But, you know, that's not just isolated to public-facing sites. I know this guy down here said he's really into public-facing sites. But, you know, a lot of us are also doing intranet sites. And whether it's small intranets or large intranets, this is something that you're still going to have to think about. Another thing that is common for page layouts would be general content entry. So this would be like the example that Randy showed with just creating like a news item or something like that, that based on an article page, you go in and you fill in some information. You know, that's all kind of just, you know, basic stuff. But, you know, as we've been out in the wild in our many journeys around the SharePoint universe, there's a lot of other things that people want to do with page layouts. So something like some custom content scenarios, like allowing people or content authors to enter more custom content. Like maybe in your organization you manage products or something like that. So maybe you have a page layout that's specifically geared around creating products or product information. So you might have a product page layout that has specifically formatted to track information related to that. Another thing would be maybe you have that product information, but maybe you want to make sure that it rolls up. You know, that's one of the key tenets of web content management would be to create content, make sure that we capture it somewhere, and make sure it can show up somewhere else. Well, you can do that through a custom page layout. So maybe you're, you know, adding custom fields that determine what type of product it is, or what market it's for, or, you know, what region it's for, something like that. So, you know, adding custom fields is another very common scenario, and we're going to show you that. Or another thing that is probably a little bit less common but really cool would be the idea of embedding a web part that filters based on URL parameters. So this could be something, let's say you have a single page that would be, Microsoft actually did an example at a SharePoint conference a couple years ago where they showed a travel site and there was one page layout, and based on the URL parameter that was being passed in, could show travel information for different countries that would be dynamically filtered based on the URL parameter that's coming in. That's another thing we're going to show. So this, you can think of this slide as kind of almost the outline or the overview for some of the examples that we're going to show throughout the rest of the presentation. So before we get too deep into it, I wanted to just show you guys a couple examples of custom page layouts. We've done a lot of just talking about, you know, slides and code that's, you know, not too pretty. But this is an example of a real client that we have that Randy and I are working with. I actually got an email from them this morning. They are not called Corp Logo, but they are. We've anonymized it so that you kind of can't really tell who it is. But what you're seeing here on the left-hand side there is an example of a custom page layout that not only is it custom styled, over in the recent news section, we've got it's rolling up the 5 most recent articles that match, that, and it filters based on a metadata parameter. So we're making sure that when you create one of these, we're showing related content dynamically, so you don't have to do anything. We've also got some social features embedded into this one. In the upper right-hand corner of the one on the left, you've got the ratings and the I like it and keywords. So lots of different stuff that you can do there. On the right-hand side, something pretty similar, but the difference on that is going to be we've actually faked kind of a tab type mentality. On the right-hand side, there's basically a corresponding 5 page layouts that work together, and kind of between them, it allows you to kind of navigate between them. Just kind of wanted to show you some different ways that we've done things. Choose Chicago is an example of one of those public-facing sites that when we did a demo at SharePoint conference, we talked about beautiful and engaging websites on the internet. And this is one of the examples that we used.
We did not build this.
We didn't build it.
We just think it's great looking.
We think it's very cool. Yes. But the page content in the center, all page layout driven. That's the main major part that catches your eye. So somebody came in, they did a design, they created, you know, a master page and some great style and everything, but that whole section in the center there was driven through custom master page. Same deal with Sharpie. Wanted to show it just because the two sites are, you know, pretty interesting, pretty non-SharePoint looking. But wanted to show you, you know, the big portion of that is going to be driven from those page layouts. So, you know, whenever we go through the whole process of talking about page layouts and everything, they don't just happen. You know, you've got to think about it a little bit. What are you going to do? So you got to, you know, generally we're going to assume that you're going to go in and you've talked with your client or internal and you're, and hopefully there's a strategy. And if there isn't a strategy, there probably should be. But let's pretend you've got a strategy. There's an overall vision that you've created and a goal. And maybe your goal is, you know, use SharePoint's great WCM functionality in order to communicate and do all the other great things that you can do. Maybe you have an intranet or something like that. So you, once you have that, you can build what we would call an information architecture that would support those goals. So an information architecture itself, just in general, is kind of the organization of the various SharePoint objects and entities. So if you have your web applications, your site collections, your sites, your document libraries, lists, whatever, it's the mix of all of those things and how those things work together in order to create and deliver on those vision and goals that you have. So once you've done that, you know, what I'll normally do is I'll go back to the client and I'll say, you know, well, let's think about what kind of content we have or we need. And in some cases, we'll look at the current site and we'll say, okay, you know, this is what you got. This is what you need in order to carry this forward. And so we'll come up with the various types of ways and containers that we need in order to create this stuff. And then we'll try to figure out where that information needs to show up, and we'll come up with kind of a whole big plan for that. But at the end of it, your users don't really care about all of this. This is just from the SharePoint side, this is what we need to think about. But your users, they just want it to work. So we're going to come up with a way that we can make it seamless and highly usable. So a lot of times people will think about information architecture, they hear the word taxonomy, and I just kind of wanted to have a real quick slide that describes the relationship between information architecture and taxonomy. IA is the organization of SharePoint objects, taxonomy is the organization of that data and content. So we break down taxonomy into two main buckets. One would be your taxonomy structure, which would kind of be the classification of the data and content, similar to how you would curate information in like a library or something through the Dewey Decimal System. I'm still wondering whenever we go over to Amsterdam in a couple weeks if they're going
to
understand what the Dewey Decimal System
throw
is.
Tomatoes
there,
but
how you classify that information with the metadata and the structure. Maybe you're using managed metadata and you have various term sets and relationships to everything. That structure is what a lot of your developers and a lot of the people who are your information architects are going to think about. But the way that Randy will look at things and the way that a lot of the users will look at things would be through your taxonomy view. And that's how that information is presented to your users. So we care about the taxonomy structure as developers and planners and everything like that. But for our users who just want it to work, we're going to create a view of that taxonomy that will be easy for users to navigate without getting them all confused. So those two things, the structure and the view, need to work together along with our overarching SharePoint objects and everything in order to make something that's going to work well. So I just went off and talked about a lot of theory around, say, IA and taxonomy. But at a high level, this is my super complicated example of maybe what an intranet might look like. Got a homepage, a couple divisions, a couple departments. And in our example, we want information to be created down in Department 1. And as someone in Department 1 is going in and creating content, we want it to just magically and automagically roll up to the division homepage and the home homepage and have it just be syndicated out there and show up like on the homepage, like right in the center there.
John's very proud of this animation, by the way. He worked hard on it.
So how we do that is kind of the secret sauce behind what we think about whenever we're creating page layouts. So how we do that is what Randy's going to be talking
That's
about.
Exactly right. So here we have our quote-unquote real-world example. And some of you, if you were in our SharePoint conference session back in Anaheim, you may remember Syrup and Bacon Breakfast Consultants. They're sort of our fake company that we invented for demos, and they're sort of the leaders in breakfast consulting and breakfast tasting, etc. They have a branded public-facing SharePoint site, like the one you see in the screenshot right there. And so the idea for this demo is the company wants to publish various types of articles, so like news and events, press releases, that kind of thing. They want to track them with metadata, and that's sort of the metadata they'll keep on them is the news and events and all that. And then they want to create a roll-up that'll roll those articles up to a landing page somewhere. And so if you go to the next slide, this is an old slide. It doesn't really look like this exactly right now, but this is sort of an example of what we're going to be showing in a little bit. And so if we're going to build this, if we're going to build a page layout that's going to have a metadata field on it, right? That's kind of what we're going to be talking about here. So we're going to need a metadata field control on it. And so one thing that people often don't understand about page layouts is the field controls, the things when you put it in edit mode and you can type stuff in, are all based on site columns and a content type. And so your page layout can inherit from a content type that has site columns. And so it can either inherit from page, which is like the generic, just basic content type for like a blank page layout. It would just have a title, et cetera. Or you could inherit from one of the existing ones, like article page or welcome page. And so if you inherit from article page or welcome page, then you'll get fields, you'll get site columns that you can use in your page layout. And so this little crude drawing here kind of shows you what I'm talking about. So the content type may have three site columns in it, but your page layout may only use two of them or what have you. But you have all of them available for you in your thing. So for ours, we need to make a content type that has a metadata field. And this is probably really hard to see from where you're at, but essentially it's just going to be a page and there's going to be a metadata field on it. And so let's do a demo on it real quick.
And it's worth noting that this first example is pretty
Is
pretty basic. But the whole purpose of kind of what we're doing is we're going to start small, and every example that we go through is going to build on it. And these
exactly
are all,
right.
We're all building toward, we're trying to keep this rooted in real-world examples and everything. So what we're showing is going to be basic, and we're going to...
So here's sort of an example of what we're going to build. We're not going to build this all right this second, but we've got sort of a roll-up, a page with a roll-up on it here, where I could filter it based on the type of article. And then when I click on it, I kind of get this article here that's got some metadata on it. And so... to build that, like again, we're going to need a content type with that site column on it. And so, since this is a 300 level session, I'm not going to just build the content type for you. I'm just going to show it to you real quick, since it'll be assumed that you know how to do that. So let me actually, I need to go up to the top level here. Content types live at the top level of the site collection, not at the at the sub level. So if we go over here, we look at site content types. We have something called demo article metadata here. I'm going to click on that. Scroll out the bottom. I added a managed metadata field here called demo metadata. That's what we're going to use for creating this. And if I look at it real quick, just to show you what it's got it has a term set applied to it, which is syrup and bacon articles. So I've already created a term set out there that's already got terms that people can select from. And then it doesn't have a default value or anything like that. So let's see. No, don't close that tab. So if we want to create a page layout, what we're going to do is we go over here to SharePoint Designer, and I've already got my site open. And over here on the left, you can see that we've got all these site objects, and I can go to Page Layout. If I go to Page Layout, open the ribbon here, there's a button that says New Page Layout. If I click that, it actually defaults to whatever the last one you created was, and so in my case, it's Demo Article Metadata, but we could also pick from other ones if we wanted to. We could pick from Welcome Page or Article Page or something like that. And then we could name it something. I usually start mine with lay underscore just so I know what they are. But let's see, demo, pick a demo. And then this is what you see when you actually go to pick from the page layouts is the title. So we click OK there.
I'll just say from later on we're going to talk a little bit about deployment. And from a naming perspective, I really like the fact that he prefixes his stuff with lay underscore. That way when you're looking in your master page gallery, you can tell the difference between your master pages and your page layouts.
Exactly,
so that's
right.
Just a... Fun tip there.
So here I'll space it out a little bit better so you can see it, but it's just like I showed you earlier. We've just got these things in here that call the content placeholders. And then I could put some content in here, right? I could put some field controls. And so if you look over here on the right, here's all of our available field controls. These ones at the top were inherited, and these ones at the bottom are in the actual content type. And so you'll see here that we can bring over page content. That's sort of like the main content area that people type in. And then I can put, got to get used to your keyboard a little bit, a break, and then another break. Jeez, sorry. This is why I don't like to type in demos. And then we could drag over our managed metadata, our metadata field here. So if we drag that over, kind of hard to read at this level. But you can see here that when it brought that in, it has this prefix custom tag 0. Oops, sorry. Custom tag 0 here, and it actually adds in a register tag at the top. I've seen it sometimes where it doesn't do that, and so if it doesn't do that, you can just, I'll have the example up on my blog later, and you can actually just grab it and just paste it in at the top. Sometimes SharePoint Designer gets a little confused on that one and doesn't put it in. If you don't have it there, it'll error and just say it doesn't have the control. And so I hit Control S to save it, but before we can use it, I have to check it in and publish it. And so if I go back to page layouts here, and I select Tech Ed Demo. Up here at the top, I can do check-in, or I could right-click on it and do check-in. And then I go publish a major version. And then when I do that, it gives me this little menu here. It says it requires content approval. And when I click yes, it loads up actually a web page for whatever reason. And then we could click this little divot right here, this little blue guy that is hard to see sometimes. And then I could say approve or reject, and I want to approve it. And so once we've done that, now we actually have it available for us for creating pages with it. And so now if I go over here, I go to new page and I say tech ed demo page, and I create it. It's going to come up with the default again, and then I can go over here and I can go page, and right here is tech ed demo. That's my custom one that I created. And it thinks for a second, and then we could put in, test content again, you know, say whatever we want to say there. And then we also have this metadata field here, and I can click this thing, and it shows me options because it's metadata, so I can just pick one, say select, hit OK, or I could have just typed into that field one of them, and it would have highlighted it. When I save it, you can see it just kind of puts those two things on the page, right? But for our demo, we don't want to show the metadata field. We want to kind of hide it. And so if we go back over here, I'm going to add something in that lets you hide it. And so I have to check this out again. So I'm going to right-click on it and say check out. And then if I go over here, now I can add some stuff. And here's where I'm going to add a little piece of code that you'll be able to get from my blog in a little bit or what have you. But I'm going to add this publishing web control edit mode panel. I'm not going to bother to try to type it in. And so the edit mode panel, what it does is essentially anything you put in there only shows up in edit mode, which is kind of convenient, right? So for us, we're going to put it in there like that. We're going to surround it with that. Hit save, and then the interesting thing is if I just hit refresh, all the pages that were based on that page layout are going to update. And so now you can see the meta field is gone, metadata field is gone. If I hit edit, it's back up there. So we've essentially hidden it. That way we can actually make a bunch of pages with it. And so I've actually got a bunch of pages on here that have already been created, and we'll use those in a little bit when we...
So some common examples of how you would do this, the out-of-the-box article page has a thumbnail for handling roll-ups to the content query web part, which we'll be talking about. That's one way. You know, you want to have hidden metadata on the page like he's showing. Maybe you wanted to do something with SEO. You know, that'd be a great way where you could hide some of your SEO information in there and go ahead and make changes so it doesn't, mess up your pretty page. But in terms of, we talked a bit about, we just talked about a field control, adding a field control to your page.
Right.
The other way that you can get content on your page would be by adding web parts. So one of the primary ways that you could, or the easiest way that you could add a web part would be to add a web part zone. So a web part zone itself allows, once you add it onto the page layout, allows your users to go in and just drag and put web parts on the page. I mean, I think you've all probably used web part zones. And, one thing to keep in mind, though, especially from a publishing perspective, is that if you're going to go and use something like the content editor web part, which a lot of people like to do, and store information in there, it's the content that's stored in those web parts is not versioned. So I actually had a client. I didn't advise them to do this, but they said, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to, John's gone. We don't want to bother him anymore. We want to create page layouts all over the place, but we're just going to create like a bunch of page layouts that just have web part zones on it, and to have a bunch of flexibility, we're just going to add content editor web parts onto the page and just dump our content in there as we need it.
That's a good idea.
Which is great. It sounds great in theory,
yeah.
But the problem is then they call me back and they told me what they did, and they said, you know what, we put a whole bunch of content in it, and now we realize we got to roll it back. Well, the problem is that any content that you're going to put in a page layout, for example, like the content editor web part, is not versioned. The web part itself on the page will be, if you were to roll back to a previous version of the page knows whether the web part was on the page or not. It doesn't know, but it doesn't actually version the content in the web part. So just keep that in mind. Not saying the content editor web part is a bad thing or other web parts are a bad thing. You just got to be careful. That's kind of just, if you take away one thing from this session, keep that in the back of your mind. Content store in the content editor web part is not versioned.
If you need versioning, put it in a field control.
Exactly. So how you balance that is going to go back into kind of your planning, your information architecture and stuff. But if you need content to roll up, a great example of a web part to do that would be the content query web part. It's a kind of one of the most common, let's say, tools in our WCM tool belt. So if you get it whenever you enable publishing, so you got to make sure that you've got SharePoint Server publishing enabled, and it allows you to roll up lists and document libraries and pages throughout your site collection. Key right there is throughout the site collection. If you have multiple site collections, rolling up content across site collection boundaries is going to be something that you're either going to have to do custom by, create a custom content query web part that kind of, builds it out and allows you to do more fancy stuff. There are third-party tools that can do it, or, you can kind of get creative through development. But once it goes in and you go in and you set the filters and how you want it to roll up that information. It's going to get that information, run a query, and it's going to present it back to the user as through and style it through XSLT, or Extensible Style Sheet Language Transformations, which is a huge mouthful, but we just call it XSLT. So it's going to bring back that information. We'll customize it and style it. When you saw the syrup and bacon example on the front, all the content that we were showing you on the front page, except for the rotator and the little Twitter thing, was all custom content query web part. And if you're interested to kind of get your hands dirty with understanding how to do a little bit more of that, we're going to show you some of the basics from a page layout perspective. But check out that great blog post that kind of talks to you about kind of using XSL and styling it, and you know, doing some of those cool things that you can do. So
here's we go back to sort of talking about our real world example. In this case, we're going to add a web part zone, and we're going to put a dynamic roll up in there. So syrup and bacon, they've used the page layout already to create a bunch of pages that have that metadata field on it, and then we're going to add a web part zone and a content query web part to roll it up. So it's going to look kind of like this, but that might be kind of hard to read or whatever. So let's just go over to the demo and check it out here.
Well, one of the important things that I just want to point out on this slide, all of the filters and everything like that are kind of defined in this in that little area there, and it's kind of a little bit hidden. And especially one of the reasons why I wanted to call it out was, if you see that little question mark that's after additional filters, I didn't even notice this for the longest time. But if you listen to this presentation, it sounds like something interesting that you want to play with. If you mouse over that area, it'll actually give you the syntax for kind of putting in some of those filters. So I think Randy might be able to show you some of that.
Exactly. So here we have a page that's already been created. If I put it in edit mode, you can see that it's got some extra stuff on it, but it's already got the metadata filled in here. And so we have a bunch of these, right? We have about 10 of them already created. And so for our page layout, we're going to want to add a web part zone, and we're going to add something that rolls it up kind of like this. And so if we go back over here to the edit mode of this page here, this page layout, we bring that up. What I'm going to want to do is I want to kind of split this up into two columns. And so I have some HTML here that will do that for me. So if I can copy that and paste that in right here. And then if I select all this and I put it in here, now that's going to go on, whoops, I think I missed something. Let me grab that too. Crap. Go right here. Sorry about that. Put that in there. There we go. So now all that's over on the left-hand side, and then on the right-hand side, we want to put a web part zone. And so if I put this in, I can't do it in code view for whatever reason. If I go to insert, it's not highlighted or whatever. So if I go to split view really quick, we could select that div. And if I go to insert in the ribbon, we can go web part zone. And when I do that, you may not have seen, what's it doing? I see some drawing right there. If I switch back to code view, you can see that it added a web part zone in there. And then it also added this control right here, this web parts proxy manager. And so it just adds that in for you to use. And then if we hit save on there, and we go back to, let's see, where was the previous one? Hold on, let me go back there. This guy here, if I hit refresh, looks the same or whatever, right? But if I put it in edit mode now, we have a zone over there. And now in a zone, I could put web parts. And so I can click that, and I could say content roll up, and I could say content query. And so when I add that in, now we have a content query web part. I can open the tool pane up, and then over on the right, we'll see there's our tool pane. And here's where I'll kind of go through this pretty quick or whatever, but essentially what we want to do is pick where our query comes from. In our case, it's going to come from syrup articles, which is where all those articles live. It thinks for a second and refreshes. We're going to switch the content type over to custom, which is what our content type is, and then we're going to put demo article metadata. That's our content type. We'll skip filters for a second, and then if I look right here, it's got sorting and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to pick an item style of title and description. And then right here, you can kind of mess with these fields. And so our pages have a byline on them, and so I'm going to make the description show up as byline right there. And if I hit apply, it should think for a second and come back with, it's got all of them in there. So there's all of my articles. So now I want to filter it. And so what I could do here is I could say I want to filter it by demo metadata. And I want to say when it's equal to, and then in this field is where I'm going to put my page filter. And so if I hit this question mark, much like what John was saying, I don't have to remember what the code is for that. I could just copy it, and I can kind of paste it in right here. And I have to get rid of this little dot. For some reason, they decided to put a bullet right there. And then if I replace field name with demo demo metadata that should filter it based on that. But I also, I don't want my existing article to be in there, so the one that I'm currently working on. So I'm going to say where title is not equal to, and then I'm going to paste in again, get rid of that dot, and I'm going to say title right here. Title. There. Now, if I've done my job correctly, we'll see if I have. If I hit OK right there, it's only filtering just the ones that are related to this article. So if I hit save real quick, you could see it's just rolling up events. If I hit edit and I go in here and I change this, I get rid of this like that, and I type, oops, geez, type blog, hit enter, hit save. Now it's rolling up a blog post. And so that's essentially, you know, that's sort of how you can make a roll up that just brings in content like that.
So one question that, you know, a lot of times we're asked is, we show this to clients and, you know, it's great to add a web part zone. Another way that you can add a web part onto the page itself would be to actually embed the web part onto the page.
Yep.
You know, there's some pros and cons to doing that. You know, one of the pros is it means that you don't have to worry about your end users changing any settings. You can pre-wire it and it's all set to go. But one of the cons being that, you know, you do lose some flexibility in that. And there might also be some challenges as it relates to kind of deployment. We'll kind of talk about that a little bit. But
yeah, so these pages here actually already have it embedded on it. And so when we click on it, they've just got it embedded in there. So if you wanted to do that, what you would do is you could edit one of these pages and grab out the web part code and then just paste it in here outside of the web part zone. And then it'll appear on every page. But you won't be able to edit it at that point. So, like, content authors can't edit a web part that's just embedded on the page.
Yeah, so that's kind of just a common question we get. We actually had a slide about it, but...
Yeah, we took it out.
But so... You know, once you've gone ahead and you've added that web part zone onto the page and you added a content query web part, you know, there, as we said, there's another way that you can go ahead and kind of create a dynamic page with the content query web part. So a cool scenario for this would be kind of like what Randy was showing, but maybe you have, you know, I had a recent example with a client where they had a bunch of different departments and they wanted to create some sort of page where people went to that would be relevant to whoever the user was who was in that department. So let's say that I'm a user and I go and I'm in the sales department. I would go to this one page layout, this one page that, you know, showed me upcoming events, news, press releases, whatever, you know, all nice, and it would be filtered based on to only show me information from the organization based on my department. If Randy was in the finance department, he goes in, and when he goes to that page, he goes to the exact same page, same URL, just different parameter being passed in, and he would see a different subset of content. So some real interesting things that you can do around that. I mean, we're
leveraging the same web part to use different, to show different.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we
comes in.
Mentioned the example of kind of what Microsoft was doing with the different countries, seen a bunch of different stuff like that. But it's all driven through these dynamic filters with the content query web part. And the page query string filter. And so, you know, here's an example of a URL there. You can pass it in as a URL variable. In this case, at the end of our URL there, where it says rollup equals field name, you can really do whatever you want with that. And there's how you manipulate that query string and to get that value there could be as simple as just updating your incoming links, which is going to be the method that we're going to show you. But it would also be something where it'd be fairly simple to almost have some sort of a smart link that, you know, in one case, you know, let's say you created a link that had a little bit, there was like a little control built in that say looked up to the department value on your user profile. So it would just automatically know. I wouldn't have to, you know, I could just say my page and it would just know.
Reusable
content. So a bunch of interesting scenarios around that. But now Randy's going to talk a little bit about...
So now we're going to talk about how do we build this page here. And so we kind of glossed over it before, but essentially, you know, it's rolling up. On this page, it's rolling up all of those articles, right? But over here on the right, we have links that say that's going to filter it. And when I click this link, you'll see at the top it passes in rollup equals news. Whoops. And it only brings in the news ones. And if I click upcoming events, it only brings in events. If I click press release, it only brings in press. If I click blog post, it only brings in the blog posts or what have you. And so if I put this in edit mode real quick, you could see kind of how we built it. It's just a basic out-of-the-box kind of page layout or whatever. And over here on the right, if I edit this, you'll see that it's just a content editor web part. And when it comes up, you know, just a content editor web part, when I click in the field here, like if I click right there, I can go HTML, edit HTML source. Then it's kind of spaced out poorly or whatever. But you can see that it's just A tags with hrefs, just like regular old HTML. I'm just going to SERP articles, pages, landing page, ASPX, passing in rollup equals new, and then in this one I pass in event, and in this one I pass in press, et cetera, et cetera. So that's just basic HTML stuff. And then over here on the left, we have the content query web part. If I click edit, we could see here that the query is very similar to what it was before. We bring in the SERP articles. We roll up the content type, demo, article, metadata. And then right here, we have the same kind of thing. We have demo metadata is equal to. And then instead of doing, like if we look at this little hint here, instead of doing the page field value, which just said like bring in a value from the page, we have the page query string. And you can see that it basically is going to pick up from the query string. And you could type whatever you want right there. In my case, I put roll up. You could say like John's crazy token or whatever you want to call it right there. And so that's what it's going to look at. And whenever gets passed over on this rollup is what it's going to filter on. So it's going to look and say demo metadata when it's equal to blog. That's how I'm going to filter it or what have you. And so that's essentially that. And then if I look at presentation here, you can see that I've got a item style of custom news rollup. And so that's sort of what's laying it out nicely, putting it in a thumbnail, etc. And I don't want to get too far into that, but we do have a little bit of time, so I'll just show you what it looks like. And I know we didn't talk about how item styles work, but you can I'll put this code up on my website or what have you. But essentially, it's this item style that lives in the style library. And I gave it a name of custom news rollup. And then it has some variables and that kind of thing, but it's just got HTML that lays things out. And then you see these XSL values right here. These are where it pulls values from the page or what have you, so whatever it's rolling up. So if it's got, if you remember that page had a roll-up image, it had a title, it had a byline, et cetera. And so here's where we show the title, and then here's where we show the page content, and we've got a custom sort of thing that sort of truncates it at 200 characters. And that's sort of in the weeds topic right there. But essentially, you know, if you want to know more about styling these content query web parts, look up XSL. It's a very complicated, it's not complicated, it's actually quite simple, but it's actually very finicky. So if you're working with XSL, make sure you do a lot of saves. You know, don't just like do, these guys in the front are laughing because they know. If you do a lot of stuff in the XSL and then you break it, it just doesn't give you any error information. It's just like no info. Yeah, exactly.
And it's been our experience. We've yet to find anybody who would call themselves an XSL guru.
Yeah, no one wants to admit it.
And every time I say that to anybody, that normally half the people in the audience who have used XSL kind of laugh about it because they themselves would never want to hang their hat on
exactly.
XSL.
Exactly. So we use the custom rollup to kind of lay it out like this. And so when you hit OK, you know, it just kind of comes back to where it was at. We hit save, and you know that's how you kind of get this rollup. So then when you click on it, it brings in a different one. And then you see here, if I take off the rollup, you know, and I just go to the page, it brings in all of them again. And so that's kind of an idea of how you can reuse it. You could imagine you could use this for like a products page or something like that. So if you say category equals, toasters, then it brings up all the toasters. Well,
we use this a lot of times with clients who have a landing page, a bunch of departments. Every department is creating their own content, because I'm sure in your organization, you know, sometimes getting that content created and pushed out to the organization can be difficult if you try to, try to have one person do it all. So if you have the individual departments building the content themselves, have some sort of consistent roll-up where it rolls up to a common place, you know, sometimes you want to see all the content, but in other cases, sometimes you want to filter it by specific information. So, I mean, this is built off of a real-world scenario where we had clients who were, you know, filtering stuff from a bunch of different departments and wanted to consolidate it, but have a way to manipulate between.
I will point out before we leave the demo that a lot of these things I haven't published them or whatever, so no one else would see them. So, real quick, I'll just show you that. This is part of, this is the C in the ABCs, right? Controlled publishing or whatever. So, in this case, I don't have approval workflow turned on. It's actually, if you're working on our site, you might find it helpful to turn that off, but in this case, I just hit publish and then everyone can see it. But if you had an approval workflow turned on, it could go to like your manager and they'd have to approve it before your page can, have a question over there.
What limitations
does the
content query web part
have against an external list? So the question is, what limitations does the content query web part have against an external list? That's actually not really a scenario that I've gotten too deep into.
Yeah, external list. I don't know if you can necessarily hit external lists from it. You could probably set up something that would that would bring it in.
I'll tell you what. If you can, we're going to be answering questions in the TLC afterwards. If you want, if you can stop by, I'll make sure that I get you an answer.
Yep.
Okay. So, so as we kind of move on, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, going ahead and creating page layouts. But the reality is for all of you, you know, you're going to create these page layouts. You're going to put them together, and at some point, you're going to want to use them. And so how you use those files, how you get them on the server would be kind of what we would refer to as deployment. And so there's a couple different ways you can do it. You can manually upload stuff. You could use SharePoint Designer, like
what
Randy's doing.
I just did.
I would just say, in general, let's hope that if you're going through this development process that you're doing it in a dev environment.
Yeah, local virtual machine, a dev server, something like that. Don't do it on production.
Generally, admins get very cranky whenever you're making changes with SharePoint Designer on the production server. Just pro tip there.
You'll get embarrassed.
But the other way that you can do it would be through a SharePoint solution package or a WSP. But you know, in your environment, how you plan on making changes is going to determine what method you should use for deployment. So there, I'm not really going to get too in the weeds with this. So you know, this whole topic could be an entire other session. But you know, for deploying page layouts in smaller sites, you could do something like SharePoint Designer, manually uploading stuff, just kind of like what Randy was saying. And if you're wondering if you have a small site, you could probably just, you know, if you think you have a small site, you know, you can figure that out for yourself. But for larger sites, for anyone else where you've got a multi-tiered environment, or you've got something where you've got a, you know, multiple web front ends or such, you know, for anybody that doesn't have a smaller site, you know, you fall into the medium or large site bucket, and we're going to recommend that you use SharePoint Solutions or WSPs. If you're not familiar with it, don't worry. I've got some resources in just a couple slides. My blog post that should have gone off at 10:45 has an example of one that I put together that you can just kind of a starter of a Visual Studio solution that builds a WSP, a sandbox WSP. You can take a look at it. But it's got some features in there, which features and solutions are a specific SharePoint thing, got it, that would help you deploy your page layouts into your environment and everything. The key takeaway there is that would deploy files via an uncustomized file as opposed to a customized file. Didn't really do us any help in terms of terminology there, but kind of the real quick 5-second version of that is uncustomized files are the way that the out-of-the-box SharePoint files are deployed. It means that you've got a single copy of the file that lives on the SharePoint server itself that then has references all throughout, you know, whatever site that's using it. So, you know, the out-of-the-box page layouts, master page, work that way. So you can update one file, and by updating that one file, it updates it everywhere. So that's really handy if you've got those medium or large sites. Yeah. You know, obviously you don't want to go through and manually upload, you know, like the old
like
days.
If you saw when I was in SharePoint Designer looking at the view of the content database, those were all pulled in sort of into the content database from that one file. So if I had opened a page layout from out of the box, it's opening up a copy of that one file that lives in the file system.
So I mean, from the customized files are the opposite of that, where you know the best example I can think of that would be like if you had a master page or something that lived in one of your sites and you wanted to make changes to that same master page everywhere, you have to manually go to each site and make those changes. So at scale, you definitely want to use a WSP. So if you're new to this whole concept, this slide isn't really going to make a ton of sense. But I'll tell you, if it's something that you've listened to what I'm saying and you think it might be useful in the future, remember this slide and come back to it and reference it. There's a couple things that you're going to want to do from a page layout deployment perspective to make sure that you're ensuring that they are uncustomized. There's a couple nasty page directives that get injected by SharePoint Designer and will force the page to be customized no matter what you do. So take a look at that. I have another link to a blog post that talks about that a little bit. Embedded web parts, like we talked about before, can also be nasty and cause your page layouts to think they're customized no matter what you do.
Which can be frustrating when you get into production and things think they're customized.
I can say it has been frustrating, yes. And the way that we've gotten around it would be to create, say, event or to create some sort of feature receiver that basically loops through all of my files in the master page gallery and determines if they aren't a customized state, it will programmatically flip them.
This is the stuff, me as a designer, my eyes start to glaze over when people
just
let the devs and these guys take care of some of this stuff. So tune out if you want.
Here's kind of the basic steps for deploying the page layouts. You create it, Randy creates it, sends it over to me. I put it in Visual Studio, which we have the example that you can take a look at. You'll update the corresponding elements.xml. If you've got any developers in the room, you're going to know what I'm talking about there. You're going to want to make sure you update it with the appropriate info, which I'm going to show you in just a second here, that just as a reference. If your page layouts are based on the out-of-the-box content types, you're going to want to make sure that those are there, obviously. If you have anything custom, you're going to want to make sure those are added as well, whether it's manual or programmatic. Doesn't really matter. Just make sure that they get there, because if they're not there, going to be unhappy whenever it looks for them and it can't find them. So then once you do all that, you deploy to WSP, activate the necessary features. So if you are a developer type, this is kind of what you're going to want to put in your elements.xml file. The page layouts themselves have a bit more of a complicated schema to deploy for your elements. So you're going to, the key things you're going to want to pay attention to are the file name, and the value at the top, pretty simple, that's straightforward. And then down at the bottom, we've got reference to the content types themselves. So we've got the
Heck of an ID they put in there, by the way.
We've got the name of the content type there, and then we've got this really long, crazy ID that actually, what it has is at the beginning there, if you're at all curious, there's actually some sort of hierarchical reference at the top. That's what the 0x0101 is. We're not going to get into that. And then you've got two zeros, and then you've got like a couple GUIDs that are basically sandwiched onto each other.
How would anybody ever figure that out?
Well, if you're interested in doing any of it, like here's the article page. If you were doing either of those, which are very common content types to base your stuff on, you can come back and reference that. And make sure that you get the proper content type in there so that it's associated correctly whenever you deploy it. If you wanted to get the content type ID of anything, like let's say you couldn't find the slide or wanted to know how to get to it, the easiest way you could do it would be to go into your content type gallery for the site itself, and you'll notice at the top there I've highlighted this super crazy long content type ID. You just grab it out of the URL there. If you're handy with PowerShell, that's another way that you can get it, so you can feel free to do that. My personal preference is to use a tool called CKS Dev, which has a series of extensions for Visual Studio. You can get it from the extension manager. Want to make sure you get both the foundation and server versions of it. But once you do that and install it from Visual Studio, it'll give you some new options. So when you go into your server manager at the left-hand side there, browse to your content type within your site if you created it, if they're custom or whatever. Right-click on it, and you can select copy ID. It'll put it on your clipboard. You can slam it in your feature, and you'll be good to go. So as I said, this could be an entire other session on deployment in general, and page layouts themselves tend to be the more complicated piece of this. There's a couple...
Because of the content types and things like that they get really complicated.
The schema itself is just really tricky. So our good friend and SharePoint MVP, Becky Bertram, who I think is here at TechEd, so if you happen to see her, go and say hi. But she wrote a fantastic post a while ago that talks about it talks about creating page layouts with SharePoint 2010 and Visual Studio. It also talks about some of the issues with deployment around the page directives and things. She was one of the first people that really kind of brought that to light. So great example. Go read through. There's a ton of good comments on that post as well. So make sure that not only read the post, but also check out the comments. If you are interested in just a larger overview of the deployment process, check out the packaging master pages and page layouts post that Bob German put together. Also, real good overview. And here's the link to the CKS Dev stuff. As I mentioned at 10:45, a blog post of mine hit that has my sample code that's just real simple. It shows you how to deploy the Randy's Waffles example, and that actually was from our book. But I've added some additional stuff that specifically around the page layouts that have some code in there that you could just. It's basically what I showed you in those couple slides that we skipped through real quick. So as a starting point, it's Visual Studio deploys a sandbox solution and is a great starting point for if you wanted to use that and build off of it and kind of take it take it to the
sort
next
like
level.
Sort of like your Hello World of deploying page layouts, if you will.
There's also a custom master page in there, and so it's kind of a good example. But if you're, as we said, if you're looking to get some more information, here's the blog addresses again, Twitter. Be sure to keep up with us and say hi. If you have any questions, we're always happy to help, and you can always reach out to us on the email. Here's our book. It's the one with the motorcycle on it, which I think is the coolest Rocks cover on the SharePoint series. So
we fought hard to get that motorcycle.
So come check it out. Like we said, there is going to be a book signing tomorrow at the Rackspace booth at 4 o'clock.
Yep.
It's also available in the bookstore here if you're not going to be able to make it because you're out, you know, having too much fun.
It gets 20% off retail. Woo woo.
Yeah. So, but there's some other. Here's a couple other slides about SharePoint. I'm sure most of the people in the room have checked out SharePoint. If you're not,
related sessions one.
You can get more information. You can get more information about SharePoint from SharePoint.microsoft.com. But make sure that you fill out your evaluation on ComNet so you can enter to win lots of cool stuff, including an Xbox.
Whew.
So, but anyway, thanks for coming, guys.
Also, after this, we'll be in the TLC, the Learning Center, or whatever it is called, for questions and answers. So we'll stick around for a little while if you guys want to come by there and pepper us with hard or easy questions.
All right, thanks for coming, guys.
Thanks,
enjoy the rest of TechEd.